eggs can one queen bee lay to produce, you know, say in a season or year?
I don't know about a season, but I mean, she can lay many thousands a day.
Wow. That's really interesting.
Yeah, that's certainly not every day. You know, again, like they're getting ready to, what we call brood up, right? In other words, they just kind of, they're idle through the winter. They will go to a period of time where they're not producing eggs. The queen is not laying eggs. They're basically in survival mode, consuming the honey that they have. But just about this time of year, as the days start to get longer, we cross past the solstice and the days begin to get longer, the queen will start laying, and they'll start to brood up. They'll start to increase their population. And that's when she'll really start, laying a significant number of eggs. Like I said, she can lay up to 1,500 a day, during this period of time when they're, again, this is a healthy hive, obviously, where they're healthy. They've got a good population. They've got good resources. They've got good pollen coming in because those baby bees need pollen to grow, to produce protein. You know, they need the protein to produce, to grow. Like I said, they'll start to significantly increase their population.
That's some interesting information. We need to take a break to get a word on for Jason Aycock Auctioneering. Again, he is having an auction sale, a farm equipment auction in Enfield, North Carolina. This will be coming up on January 30th. Log on to jasonaycockauctioneering.com for more information. Jason Aycock, NCAL 6679. Announces a farm equipment auction sale to be held for Earl Atkins, deceased, on Saturday, January 30th at 10 a.m. at 173 Faith Road in Enfield, North Carolina. For terms, more information, and to view photographs of items up for auction, log on to jasonaycockauctioneering.com. You can also call Jason at 919-495-0285. Up for auction on Saturday, January 30th at 10 a.m. Work-ready tractors, a cotton picker, a dozer, combines, trailers, tobacco, and peanut farm-related equipment. Also up for auction, salvage equipment and salvage vehicles. That's Saturday, January the 30th at 10 a.m. at 173 Faith Road in Enfield, North Carolina. Call Jason Aycock at 919-495-0285 or log on to jasonaycockauctioneering.com for more information. Coming up in a little bit, we'll get a word on for Sandling Golf Cars and Trailers and the NTG Brooks Company.
In terms of upcoming events, and if people are interested in beekeeping, they can be getting involved.
All righty, we have a couple of guests with us here on the program today. Johnny Coley, we're going to talk with Johnny about a few things going on with the Extension Service, and then we'll talk with Mr. Bob Brower a little bit more about honeybees. Johnny, you was telling me before we went on air about some of the pesticide classes that is going to be coming up, and with this COVID-19, you all have came up with a way to where you can have some folks there more or less per se in class, and then some of the other people will be able to join in by way of going online, doing more or less like a virtual class, correct?
That's correct, Rob. We're still under the conditions of COVID-19 and the restrictions that goes along with them. So we're allowing people, and it's unfortunate, very few people can come in and to the office for these meetings, but most everybody are joining by Zoom, by the Zoom platform, the video platform, and we're able to have a lot more people that way. We have a meeting coming up about industrial hemp on Monday. Actually starts at 8 o'clock on Monday. If you're interested in signing up for that or registering for that, please call either the Granville or Person County office, and we'll give those numbers here at the end. And you can register. We'll send you a link that you can register for the hemp meeting. And that starts at 8 o'clock, so it's 8 to noon on January 25th, which is Monday. We have grain production update February 11th from 4 to 7. So both of those meetings will allow you to get a 1 hour of X credit. You'll get 1 hour of X credit at both of those meetings, and they are available through Zoom. A category that a lot of, especially private applicators, need to get. Of course, the X credit is private applicators, but the V credit is something that you don't have an opportunity to get a lot of times. So the V credit meetings or classes will be on February 3rd from 6 to 8, February 17th from 9 to 11, and March 10th from 9 to 11. Again, these are offered online via Zoom. We have a few slots, very few. We have to stay within that 10 in person when we're inside limit. So we can only have 9 because somebody, either myself or another agent, has to be in the facility as well. So we're limited to only 9 people. But for those. And this is a collaborative effort through Franklin County, Vance County, Warren County, Granville County, and Person County. So it's five counties, and each county has a site that are allowing individuals to come to. So, join online if you can, but if you can't, just let us know, and we'll get you registered. An auxin herbicide training, which you have to have if you need to buy any of your auxin products, such as 2,4-D and things that is an auxin type herbicide. You'll need to take that class, that training, before you can buy these products. And that's February 24th at 10 o'clock. Fumigant applicator training. So if you do any fumigating, that's also February 24th. That's right after the auxin herbicide training meeting at 11:30. And again, you can register online for that to see that on Zoom. So that's some of the classes we've got coming up. We have a couple of landscape classes as well, January 29th and February 5th for some of the commercial applicators. If you have an AL category or D, which is dealer, N is research, and then it also, you could get couple of hours of X credits for the January 29th and February 5th meetings, but they're more tailored toward landscapers and ornamental, ornamental landscaping and turf as well. We'll have a couple, at each one of those meetings, we'll have some specialists from NC State speaking about turf management and some turf issues relating to that, and myself and Paul McKenzie from Vance and Warren County will be talking about some disease. I think the first one I'll be talking about insects in the ornamental arena, and Paul will be talking about diseases in the ornamental arena on the 5th. So just some more information on some classes that are coming up. A lot of pesticide credit classes coming up this time of year. So if you have any questions, if you have a license and have a question on any of this, please call either office in Person County. The number is 336-599-1195. In Granville County, the number is 919-603-1350. So please contact us if you have any questions on pesticide licensing, if anything related to that, give us a call. We'll, if we don't have the answer, we'll find it out.
And if you actually already have your pesticide license, if you're thinking about wanting to keep them, you need to keep your credit hours up to date, because Johnny, is pretty tough to, if you don't have your license, or if you do, you let them expire and do not renew them. If you ever decide that you want them back, that's not the easiest thing to do, is it?
You have to retake the exam, Rob. If your recertification expires, now if your license expires, if you don't pay your, if you're certified, certified meaning you have the credit hours that you need for certification, but you just don't turn your application in at the end of the year, maybe it's, you know, February, and all of a sudden you remember, I didn't turn that in, just turn that in and you will be put back into active status when you do that, as long as you have the certification hours required. Now, if you let your certification hours expire, if you let those run and don't get the number of hours that you need, then you have to retake the test in order to get your license again. So that's the question. A lot of people, you know, they'll say, I didn't turn, you know, didn't pay for my license at the end of the year. You know, what have I got to do? And for that, it's simple. You just pay the fee for your license and get it back. But the retake is more serious, and that needs to needs to be done. For private applicators, it's every 3 years, and as far as recertification, getting those hours, and other categories, depending on the category, will depend on how many hours of recertification that you need.
336-599-1195. That's the number to the Person County office, 919-603-1350. We'll put you in touch with the Granville County office. We need to take a break to catch up on an ad for Sandlin Golf Cars and Trailers and T.G. Brooks Company. We'll be back with more Gardener's Corner after these messages. Sandlin Golf Cars and Trailers, located 613 Lewis Street in Oxford, has Club Car, Easy Go, and Yamaha Golf Cars. Al, Hillary, and Will there to serve you. Weekdays, 8 to 5, Saturdays, 9 till 1. Call 919-693-4626 or toll free 1-800-221-9267. They also have Amish wagons, tricycles, and trailers that hook up behind those tricycles. You'll also find a full line of utility trailers, equipment trailers, and stock trailers. They have Wilmington grills and friendly service. For all of your repairs and Trojan battery needs, see Dennis and Bradley at Sandlin Golf Cars and Trailers, 613 Lewis Street in Oxford.
T.G. Brooks Company wishes you a very successful 2021. We probably will get a taste of more real winter and cold winter days and nights in January, which suggests a trip out to T.G. Brooks Company, 413 Helena Mariah Road in Timberlake. Cold weather needs are found like furnace filters, stove pipe and stove mats, pipe insulation, plastic to put around your windows. You will find water heater elements, thermostats, pressure relief valves, ice melt, bird seed in 10, 25, and 50-pound bags, and sunflower and black oil seed. There are shovels in case we have some ice or snow. They have wedges, axes, and mauls for getting stove wood ready. They have your gloves that are lined and unlined in leather and cloth. They are your first choice for well pumps and piping when water problems occur, with a selection of submersible and top-of-the-ground jet pumps, pipe, pump wire, and pipe fittings. They also carry cast iron cookware, and they fill propane gas bottles, plenty of dog food, and 100% kiln-dried cedar shavings. They also have dog kennels. You might need an outdoor thermometer. Plan to spend a little time at T.G. Brooks Company talking about warmer days in a couple of months and getting information on your future lawn and garden plans. In a couple of months, we'll be talking about putting out pre-emergent weed control. Come to the place where people like to shop from all over the region, a local, friendly family business that has been faithful to the homeowner, farmer, and construction worker since 1936. Phone anytime you need advice, 364-2428. Remember this in the new year. Everything works out when you have a T.G. Brooks day. No week is complete without a visit to T.G. Brooks Company in Timberlake.
We do appreciate the support
T.G.
Brooks Company.
Your Friday afternoon forecast involves a decrease in cloud cover. We'll see a partly cloudy to then mostly sunny sky.
Okay, here we go. I had the North Carolina News Network network fee coming in. We've got a couple of guests with us today on the Gardener's Corner program. Johnny Coley, the horticultural agent for Person in Granville Counties, and Mr. Bob Brower, a beekeeper from right here in Person County. Appreciate you guys being on the program today. A question, Bob. I've heard people talk about a worker bee literally works themselves to death. What is the life of a worker bee as far as in days, weeks, or months? What is the life expectancy?
A great question, Rob. So during the summer, obviously that's the, you know, during the peak of activity where they're doing the most work, they typically live about 6 weeks. And as I said, they go through a progression of duties from the time they hatch out of the cell that they're born in, or where the egg is laid. Once they hatch, they spend about the next 3 weeks inside the hive doing various hive duties, caring for babies, you know, protecting the hive, so forth. And then the next 3 weeks, they spend foraging. So basically, it's 3 weeks inside the hive and then 3 weeks outside the hive. And again, this is during the summer when activities are at their peak. But foraging is tough duty. I mean, they're out there, you know, in the visiting all the flowers and covering a lot of mileage, because a honeybee can forage up to 2 miles away from the colony if they need to find nectar sources and pollen sources. So they're putting in a lot of airtime. Visiting a lot of flowers, obviously, you know, dodging various predators that might like to prey on them. So it's tough duty, and they, like I said, they do that for about 3 weeks, and that's gonna be the end of their life.
Now, you mentioned predators. What predators would it be?
Well, there's, I mean, birds and so forth.
Obviously, okay.
They do have a defense mechanism, but still, there's plenty of. You know, plenty of other critters that will consume them if given the opportunity.
Now, go ahead, Bob. I was just going to say, continue on. I didn't want to interrupt.
Oh no, you're good. But I just to follow that up. So that's during the summer. Now, in the wintertime, when they're not actively foraging as much, they will live a lot longer because as I said earlier. You know, the egg laying starts to diminish as the weather cools off, and eventually gets into a period where the queen is not laying eggs, so there's no new, worker bees to replace those that are in there. But those bees that overwinter, they actually will live much longer, to see the colony through the winter. And then they'll help get it jump started, you know, in the beginning of spring, and the queen will start laying new eggs, et cetera, and the whole cycle will begin again. So, like I say, summer bees, about 6 weeks. Winter bees, probably 4 to 6 months.
Well, now, is it true that the worker bees will sometimes fly right outside of the hive to try to keep the temperature of the inside of the hive pretty much at the same level?
Yeah, that's actually a very interesting characteristic, Rob, of the honeybee. They do a great job of maintaining the temperature of their chamber, of their colony, whether it's a man-made box like a beekeeper would use or a hollow tree where they might live in a feral environment. They do a great job of maintaining the temperature. So in the summer, they will actually collect water from any kind of a nearby water source, bring that water back to the, and then in the winter, for the purpose of cooling the hive. And then in the winter, as I alluded to earlier, they are using their honey. They're consuming that honey, which is a carbohydrate, and then vibrating their muscles to generate heat and warm the hive. And so they can maintain a fairly constant a temperature inside that colony, which is to me a very interesting aspect of the honeybee.
It certainly is. Now, you talk about bees living in a tree, honeybees. Now, when bees swarm, what causes bees to swarm? And if you should come upon a swarm of bees, say on a tree or something, what should one do?
Yep, great question. So swarming is a perfectly natural process, and that's basically how the colony reproduces. So we've talked a little bit about the queen laying eggs and so forth and the reproduction of individual bees, but the way that the colony itself reproduces is by swarming. So typically swarming in our area is at its peak kind of in the mid-March to mid-April time frame. So a very healthy colony, as I said, it's going to start to brood up, produce a lot of new baby bees. That population is going to increase dramatically. The nectar flow will be occurring, a lot of nectar coming in. So conditions are prime at that stage for that colony to swarm. And when a swarm happens, basically about half of the bee population, half of the worker population, so we're talking, in the neighborhood of 20,000 individuals, will leave that colony along with the queen. And I'll talk a little bit about the replacement queen in a minute, but they'll leave that colony with that queen and fly away. And it's, believe me, it's quite a sight to witness when you see about 20,000 individual bees leave a colony along with their queen and go fly away, because they kind of leave in a cloud of bees. Those bees will then collect at some location, and it's typically in a tree. It can really be anywhere, but it's typically in some kind of a nearby tree or bush or something like that. They'll collect up and they'll form this cluster of bees, and it can be the size of a basketball, and it's just pure bees. They essentially make a temporary housing, if you will, out of their bodies, and they can stay in that location for upwards of a few days. I've seen them stay there for a few days. If it was someplace I couldn't get to rescue them, they would stay there on their own for several days. What they're doing there is just, that's a temporary location, as I said, and they've got scout bees that are out looking for a new location. Those scout bees are trying to find a suitable cavity in which to start a new colony. And once they find it, those scout bees will come back, and that entire cluster of bees will then leave that temporary place and fly to this new cavity and start a new colony. So colony, that's the way they reproduce.
Those, man, that's amazing. Wow.
Yeah, it's quite an amazing process. And like I say, in our area, because it's driven by, a lot of factors, including climate and availability of nectar and so forth, it typically occurs in our area in the mid-March to mid-April time frame. It can occur at other times. It can occur later in the year. We had swarms this last year that occurred, well into July and beyond. So it's quite variable. But I'm just saying, on average, that would be the most intense period of time. So people may see these clusters of bees, and like I say, they can be a little bit intimidating, because you just see this ball of bees in a bush or something like that. But, and again, I'm speaking from my experience. I've always found these clusters to be quite docile. They're not there to attack. They're not there to do anything other than that's their temporary location while they're looking for a new home. So if you happen to find one of these or see one of these clusters, I just ask that you to contact the Extension Office in Person County. Deborah Harrelson has been a great friend of the beekeepers. She'll put you in contact with one of our beekeepers locally. And they would love to come and get that cluster of bees. And like I say, when they're in this clustered state, they tend to be docile. They can be captured and put in a hive box, and hopefully they'll take off and become a new colony. So that's the way beekeepers expand their bees. Their number of colonies is by capturing these swarms. So beekeepers are quite interested in capturing these. They would love to come and get them. They just need to know. And like I said, the best, if you're not a beekeeper, like I said, just don't touch it. Stay away from it. But they're not going to attack. They're going to stay right there until they find a new location. And believe me, once they swarm, they're looking for a location. So at any point in time, it could be within a few hours or it could be a few days. When those scouts find a new location, that cluster will leave and go find a new place to live.
Okay.
Just real briefly, in the meantime, that mother colony where that cluster came from, they're going to produce a new queen to replace that queen that left with that cluster. So that kind of completes the colony reproduction cycle.
Wow. Well, look, we're quickly running out of time, but before we finish up, if you would give out a little bit of information about the Person County Beekeepers Association, if it's someone listening today would like more information, how they could get it.
Thank you, Rob. We have a great local organization. North Carolina has a very strong beekeeping tradition and a great group of beekeepers. But Person County has its own association. It's called the Person County Beekeepers Association. You can follow us on Facebook. If you look for Person County Beekeepers Association, you'll find us on there. You can keep track of our activities and some of the things that we have coming up. We meet monthly, again, as a lot of associations have found with the pandemic, we've had to meet online. But we meet the third Thursday of every month at 7 p.m. And hopefully we'll get back to meeting face-to-face. We meet in Person County at the Extension office when we can, but until then we'll meet virtually online. Again, you can find out more about that by following our Facebook page. That's my recommendation. Anybody who's interested in beekeeping, interested in expanding their skills in beekeeping, I think the very best way is to get involved with a local association. If you're not in Person County, most all the counties have an association. They're all great. I think Person County is one of the best. It's really important to have an association with local beekeepers, because there's a lot of variability in beekeeping between different regions. The best way to keep tabs on what's going on in your region is to be part of a local association. So if you're interested, the very best way to be successful as a beekeeper is to engage with your local association. So, like I say, Facebook is a good way to connect. If you have any other questions, like I say, you can contact Deborah and she'll put you in touch with us.
Well, fellas, appreciate y'all sharing some wonderful information with us today about honeybees. Thanks to T.G. Brooks Company, Sandling Golf Cars and Trailers, and Jason Acock Auctioneering for being a sponsor. Johnny Coley, thank you for setting this up. Mr. Bob Brower, thank you. Man, it was a fast show today, as it always is.
Appreciate it.
Maybe we can have y'all back on again very soon.
96.7 WKRX.